Welcome to the Avoiding Chores Friday Night Hangout Best Of Podcast Edition for June 5th, 2015. This is a podcast where we talk about the latest news from Halifax and Nova Scotia while drinking some beers and getting really drunk. On this week's episode here, we have stories about the Cape Breton Memorial, Snoop Dogg in Truro, Belle shames Netflix users, Maine doesn't give a crap about the Novastar Ferry, and the Good Cheer Trail. Rate, review, and subscribe. Let's get into the program in progress. We're starting in Wallace, Nova Scotia, Keith Elliott, KeithElliottStone.com. How's it going, buddy?
It's going.
Awesome. In Cape Breton, Carrie with us tonight. How's it going, Carrie?
We're doing good over here.
And over in the valley, we get Lee, Hoogly Beer and Booze Reviews on the YouTube. Lee, how's it going, buddy?
Good. I guess we're sort of like Force of One. That's good. It's better than being Lone Wolf McQuaid, I guess. Mm.
And then the final showdown with, what's his name there?
David Carradine.
Yeah,
that was the best part of the movie.
Yeah. Lee, what are we drinking tonight, buddy?
Right now, because I wasn't paying attention to what I'm doing, I'm drinking a mixture of Fuller's London Porter and Garrison Nut Brown right now, because I had half a glass of Fuller's Porter, and then I started opening my Garrison Nut Brown without thinking about it, and started filling my glass, so.
And, how's the mixology working out?
Pretty good. Beer Alchemy.
Carrie, what are you drinking tonight?
We're going with, Hell Bay, English Ale.
Yeah. They are a good brewery, and they got some new brews coming out. So if you're in the Liverpool area, they do have a few new releases there. So keep your eye on that. Check out the Atlantic Beer blog, and they've outlined some of their stuff there. So you want to check that out. New post today. Keith, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, I just woke up, so this I thought this was a good beer to wake up to. One of my favorites. You know where I'm going with this. Farmhouse from North Brewing. Still one of my favorite beers of all time.
Now, is that the bottle that we got like back in February or March?
You've had that
one for a while.
No, I got this a couple weeks ago.
Oh. I'm following Lee's lead from last week. I'm getting the Garrison In Session, Session IPA. Just going to give this a try. I did have some other selections. But yeah, it's right. You know what? It is a more hoppier beer, Lee, than the Sessionista from Box and Rock. It's definitely a slap in the face if you want like a hoppy bite to it. N'est-ce pas?
I find the Boxing Rock a bit more hop forward, but that's just me personally. But but they're both really good. They got more flavor going on than most sort of session IPAs that I've had as of late. Like, good example would be like Muskoka's Detour, which is just kind of garbage in a way.
And for those who don't know what we're talking about, a session IPA or session ISA, such as Garrison, this is a low alcohol beer. So this is 4.5%. So this is the same as a Bud Light, Coors Light, but it has a lot more, well, as Lee said, flavor to it. So you're not drinking water. You're drinking something with a little bit more heft to it, but alcohol, way low, so you can enjoy yourself with it. So, Mike from Newfoundland, what are you drinking tonight, my friend?
My wife picked up some Barking Squirrel lager.
All right, excellent. Nice shirt, by the way. I hope you wore that to your event tonight.
I did, and it was noticed.
So, Mike was a little bit late here. Tell us where you were previously this evening.
I just got back from the Beer Expo down at the Delta Hotel. It's a show they have every year, and I don't know how many different breweries or lines of beer were represented, but it was really good.
Give us the big city, just for those of us, for the viewers who don't quite know where you are.
St. John's in Newfoundland.
All right, St. John's. So, perfect.
Excellent. What was the best beer you had there?
Yeah.
I think it was probably a new one from New Zealand called Pure. It comes in a green can. It's just hitting the stores there, here anyway, this week.
Oh.
New Zealand, a colony of Newfoundland, I tend to see from Wikipedia.
In a few minutes, I'll grab my book and I can get your name for it. But it was really nice. It was very crisp and clean. Really good.
You know, as we're getting into the summer months, a nice, crisp, clean beer, either a lager or a pilsner, does that just hit the spot, guys?
Yeah. On a nice hot day, you just want something nice and light to drink. Yeah, it works.
Certainly can. As long as it doesn't taste like garbage, like some do.
But the next story here is Cape Breton monstrosity. I don't know if you guys saw that. This is the 50-foot statue. I'll bring this up here on the screen here. So somebody wants to build some ginormous hunk of junk in the Highlands. So I can see here this image here. You can see, where is that? Is it Green Cove, Kerry, this is going?
Yeah, it's like Green Cove.
So somebody, some private guy, connections to the conservatives, figured this is a good idea to build this statue within the national park.
It looks like something that should be on a mountain in Brazil somewhere. I mean, it looks like religious some sort of religious fucking statue of some sort. It doesn't look like a war memorial to me.
But look, there's nothing around this. There's no reason to have this in this section of the Highlands.
I mean, in 2,000 years, Charlton Heston's going to crash on the planet and say, "You bastards, you blew it up."
I cannot agree with you more. And the worst part, where is this lady holding out her hands to? Like, not towards her?
There is some info towards that. As far as the design of it goes, that's very in style with, you know, the timeless, you know, lady such as the Statue of Liberty or the Weeping Mother at the Vimy Memorial, and her hands are actually held out towards Europe.
Yeah,
towards Europe. It's a mother or wife or sister releasing her loved ones off to war. That's what the symbology of it is. Mm.
Why not a Canadian soldier saluting towards Europe instead?
If we look through our history, Halifax was one of the center points of the war in terms of assembling the cargo, the convoy ships, the submarine nets to keep Nazi subs out of the Halifax harbor during the war. Like, there's obviously something that could have been, if they wanted to put something on the shoreline, they could have found a spot closer to Halifax. Not to say that Cape Breton doesn't need something, but
I don't necessarily agree with it one way or the other, but Cape Breton probably is a better spot for it than Halifax, and the fact that it actually does stick out and it's very striking, and it's, you know, she's reaching out over the Atlantic as opposed to, you know, there's the Weeping Mother on one side and there's the old oil refinery on the other. You know, I can see that. I can see that idea behind it, you know.
Well,
I'm just wondering if they actually shopped it around in Halifax. Like, did they propose it anywhere else in the first place? Or because it might have just got rejected because they would be like, "We got no room here."
Yeah, I don't know a lot of the deep background about it. I just, you know.
I just find it very odd that they're going to do it in the Highlands Park, where the park has been a symbol of pristine, rugged wilderness, you know, the Highlands. And now you're going to mow down a cove to put the statue. You know, why don't they put it in Sydney next to the giant fiddle?
I mean, I don't find it particularly offensive, but I just think that it's outdated in its ideology.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Keith a little bit. These things are, you will find somewhere, somebody will find it offensive. Doesn't matter who, whether they're against wars or conflict, or whether they're just people that are just against everything. And you will find them, these things will get debased by somebody somewhere. And it happens everywhere. Doesn't matter where you go, what city you go to, there's always a monument that is getting knocked down or graffitied on by people who just don't give a shit about that kind of stuff. and maybe that's why they picked it for its remoteness. Is you will get those people there that are attracted to that, and then you'll see that there is that symbology between what the monument is speaking for and what these mothers and daughters and wives did.
Yeah, I mean, there's more thought put into this monument than I think they want to put right in the middle of Ottawa. They want to put a monument to all the people that died at the hands of communism. It's a huge monument. They're going to put it where they were going to put a courthouse. The thing's the size of a building, and they want to put it in the middle of Ottawa. The reasoning is that millions and millions of people died at the hands of communism. But it to me, that just seems so arbitrary. You know, you could put up a monument to the people that died at the hands of imperialism, or just pick something arbitrary and do it. So in that sense, this seems to make this makes a little more sense. You know?
Yeah, that's weird, because like, what's Ottawa's connection to that, really?
I mean, at least this does have some thought put into it, whether you're for or against it.
Here's a good one. They're not putting up a monument for all the people that were abused and died at the residential schools. True. Yeah, figure that one out.
Very true.
They're not going to do
been,
that.
That's been, you know, big on people's minds this week. That's a very good point.
So,
as we know, the Nova Scotia film tax is still in shambles from the changes from the government. That does not stop the Trailer Park Boys. Their Freedom 35 plan is in full effect. Snoop Dogg is in Truro. And guess what? Everybody in Truro wants to give Snoop Dogg some weed. Just shows how much weed there is
They're
in Truro.
They're all taking a break from selling it. That's all I can tell you. Hi, Truro.
I don't really watch the local news all that much, so I don't know who these people are, but some young girls on the local news interviewed him, and my God, it was cringeworthy.
Like, Anna. I didn't see it. Now, Frank Magazine has described Anna, she's quite stiff in terms of presentations. She's not...
I didn't find it stiff. I just found it was like just such the softball questions kind of thing, like, and, you know, trying to act cool and stuff, and I was like, you know, I'm sure she was really excited, because she looked like she was really excited that she got to actually interview a celebrity for once or whatever, you know. But
What is surprising, she was shorter than Bubbles. She's doing a good job. She's doing the natural pass from radio, now she's on TV, now she's slowly moving up the chain there, so, you know, good for her and stuff.
Where do YouTube hangouts fit in that chain?
I have not watched Trailer Park Boys since season 5, and they're up to they're filming season 10. And it sounds like they're bringing out everybody. I guess Jimmy Kimmel. Are they using all the Netflix money, and are they using all the Nova Scotia film credit money to bring in all these people from Hollywood?
Could be. And I think a lot of people are just gravitating towards it now, because it's, you know, it's the in cool thing to do now, especially since they're on Netflix. There's more exposure now for them too, right?
Oh yeah, it's been around long enough that it's definitely a, you know, huge franchise.
And I think people from the Maritimes, Nova Scotia, or Canada, we kind of forgot, like, Trailer Park Boys had kind of the peak in Canada, and then they kind of went down a bit.
It was after that first movie.
Yeah.
That first movie was terrible. And that kind of killed their popularity for a little while, and then it wasn't long after that they sort of ended for a while at season 7 or whatever.
Well, exactly, and then they had to fight to get the right to use the characters, too.
Yeah.
So that was the big thing, too, is that anytime they were to appear in character, they had to give the director some money. So not appreciate how big Trailer Park Boys are outside of our area.
They're big in Britain, too.
But I want to check out the last few seasons. I haven't done it, but I want to do it because it's been filmed in Truro. And without getting into detail, part of my youth was spent at the trailer park in Boba Hill, and that's all I'll say about that.
So we do have one comment on YouTube. GC Storm 1 says, "Good evening, guys. Out sitting by the fire again, drinking a couple of growlers from Patty's. Cream Ale and their Ava. They were... all out of Citra, apparently. So,
Naughty Girl says, blah me, she's with water, but I have currently found I enjoy scotch. Maybe if I ever get invited on the panel, she'll drink scotch." And then she says, North Brewing says, "Cheers to everybody." And Naughty Girl says, "Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
So let's move on to the next topic here as I scroll through, because my screen crashed here. So, Bell is shaming Canadians for using American Netflix.
Bastard.
There they are. They're doing this.
Yeah, they can kiss my ass. It's not. You know what? If I pay for Netflix, I want all of Netflix. I don't want just the Canadian version. That's bullshit.
They only care because they think they're losing business. I mean, that's the only reason they care.
I'm still paying for it. It's just that I'm getting all the programs instead of the ones that they decide I should be able to have because of licensing rights or whatever bullshit.
Okay, you're paying for it, so.
Yeah. They would have an argument if you're paying by movie and show that you watch, but you're not. You're paying a fixed rate for the service. You're not paying by show. You're not paying by movie. If you're paying by movie or show and you were taking shows and movies via VPN or whatever, then they would have a point, but otherwise they don't have a point.
But you know what it is, I think, now that the CRTC is starting to crack down on them when it regards to cell phones and satellite and cable. You know, they're losing that battle in what I call basically gouging. It's just plain gouging. To have a cell phone or to have a satellite dish. So now they're just...
No one feels sorry for cable companies. Nobody.
Not the way they gouge us. No, I mean, wow.
We are moving from the era where people required a landline back in the day, you know, a lifeline or whatever you want to call it. Now, people need broadband internet access to look for a job, to apply for whatever benefits, medical, and their entertainment.
It's become a necessity almost.
It is the necessity. So what used to be a phone line 20 years ago, now it's an internet connection. And the problem here is Bell wants to, and all of them, they want you to bundle everything. Phone, TV, internet, together. And you see some of these apps, Show Me, whatever freaking app that you can stream through, that you require a cable subscription. Also, you know what? I have the internet. I'm already paying for you. I would like to stream something legitimately. So...
That is a pet peeve of mine too, where you have to have the, you know, the service to get the extra service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't, I do not regret the extra couple dollars to paying for a VPN to get me some American Netflix. I am going to watch as much stuff as I am humanly possible. I am phoning up my cousin in the States to activate some activation codes so that I can unlock some other stuff on my Apple TV when Netflix stops working. There's so many options now. With podcasts, I know you can still get whatever you want, wherever. I'm trying to be legit as possible, but you know what? I want one service in my house, and that's broadband internet. Mm-hmm. And I will pay up to $100 a month for this service. Don't you dare try to make me get TV and phone for something I can get in front of my screen right now.
Yeah. Look at what Eastlink's doing now. They are slowly forcing everyone to get their new box or whatever to upgrade their stuff. For the last half a year or so now, you look at if you just bought their basic package and then maybe a couple tiers on that or whatever, you see channels all of a sudden disappearing. Oh, you want to see this channel? Got to upgrade to our box. Oh, you want to see this channel? Got to upgrade to our box. Fuck you. I don't want to upgrade to your fucking box. I want my goddamn cable that I paid for. I'm paying for all these packages, and you're taking them away from me, and you're making me put an extra fee on top of them now for your stupid fucking box. Fuck you.
It's very hard, and that's why I was having this Twitter discussion with Bruce earlier about some music. You know, he tweeted a Bandcamp link earlier this week, and I'm like, ooh, this is a style of music I kind of like, so let me check this out. And I'm like, man, I'm listening to all week. You know what? I'm going to give some money to this band because I have been listening to their music all freaking week. They deserve my support. So, and then we're having this conversation. He's showing me all of his purchases on Bandcamp, and where he's like, he's not going to the store, or he's not going to iTunes or whatever. He's just finding this talent nowadays, and he's paying whatever he wants to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Bandcamp's beautiful.
Yeah.
It eliminates the middleman.
Yeah. Same thing with podcasts. You know, we've talked about podcasts enough. Mm. There are some really good podcasts, ours included, by the way, but there's some really good products out there I listen to every day.
That's a good point, Jim. I consume a lot of podcasts. I watch a lot of YouTube. YouTube is free for me so far, but if it costs me a little bit of money, would I pay for it? Absolutely. I do say a little bit. You know, I'm not going to pay big money for YouTube, but I watch it more than, you know, probably more than Netflix, to be honest with you. Podcasts, big consumption there, sure. I agree. There's other places you can spend your money, for sure.
Well, okay, let's do a quick roundtable, and we'll be a little bit open here, and say, what do you pay for, you can give a ballpark number, let's run it up, internet, TV, phone, mobile. So come up with a number. I'm quickly running it up. In our household, we spend almost $300 a month. Internet and two cell phones.
Mm. Yeah. I'm about 100 with Eastlink, because I've got the bundle package, right? I got the cable, I got the phone, and I got the internet all in one, right? And I don't have cell phones or anything like that, so that's not a issue for me. But yeah. And I'm thinking very soon I'm just going to drop Eastlink's TV altogether, because they're just, it's just bullshit at this point what they're doing.
Yeah,
Mike, what do you got for services at the house?
I've got done with Bell Fiber Up. I think it's about $175 or $179 a month for phone, internet, and my wife and kids got cell phones, so I just got a $100 prepaid card every year, and I might use $60 of it.
Yep, yep.
I'm not sure what their cell phone bills are, but way too much for what you're getting.
Kerry, what do you end up paying with your stuff?
We're running Seaside Cable from it's a local company, so I'm supporting them instead of the big ones. We're paying $130 for phone and TV and internet. And then we have our cell phones that are on a different plan, and that's $200 and some odd dollars, because they got four phones on it. So.
Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, it.
Yeah. You're not stealing it. You're paying for it.
Exactly.
You're just not paying them as much as they want you to pay them.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Keith, in your household, how much do you pay for your telecommunications?
Not counting any cable. Or county cable.
Cable, phone, internet. Mobile.
Yeah, it'd be three or a little more, because we still have a landline, believe it or not, but it gets used. But this one of the cell phones is bundled, and that includes internet. And then I have a cell phone which I use for the business, so I have extra data on that. And then we have a very bare bones satellite package through Shaw, which they brought up last year, just a bare bones package, about 50 some bucks a month. And I could live without it, but, you know, little kids, I don't know, it's easy, but I could live without it, but, you know, yeah, it'd be a little over 300 for sure.
All right, so other than Lee, who doesn't have mobile, you know, we're all in the same ballpark, which is 300 bucks a month.
Yep.
And I only have internet and mobile, and, you know, we all have different combinations, but 300 bucks a month, yeah, so you know what?
A lot.
At 300 bucks a month, hey, you know what, Bell? I'm going to get my entertainment wherever the hell I want. I don't need you to tell me I'm stealing. So.
Well, you know, this is the thing. This is the point my father keeps making, and it's a good point. He says, you know, we bitch and complain about how much we pay for our electricity every month, but nobody complains about really what they pay for their cell phones and their phone and their internet and their cable and that. And you stop and think about it, and it's what you're getting. You're paying a lot of money for what you get compared to electricity.
That's crazy.
Especially for what you don't use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you have.
Yeah, that's exactly. You use your power.
40 channels, channels or 30 channels that you watch maybe a fifth of them throughout the course of a week.
We watch about three channels in this house.
That's the thing, right? The way they do their tiers for their channels is like you might only be interested in three channels, but you got to buy like five different packages just to get the ones you want, right?
Yeah.
But at least they're starting to unbundle and strip things down.
For us, I'm the only one here on the panel that doesn't have cable. I stream everything or I grab over the air HD, which is CBC and CTV. I've sent a tweet out to Anna Amilda from CTV, mentioned that we talked about her spot with Snoop Dogg on the Friday Night Hangout.
Oh, well, now she watches and sees me badmouth her. She's not going to be happy.
No, she won't watch us at all.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
She'll just do a favorite and maybe a retweet at the most. But the only reason why I tweeted to her, and as I was scrolling through my columns here, she must have just discovered Periscope. So now she's doing a Periscope working after hours, which is like a couple minutes ago. So it's like, oh, hey, we're just talking about you, Anna.
A caveat on what I said earlier. I'm sure you're a perfectly awesome person, but the interview sucked, and that's just...
Lee, you're disappointing me.
She's not going to see
the fucks that you don't give, Lee. All the fucks you don't give, and now you're backtracking. Oh, you're shattered. I'm shattered.
No.
I just don't want to destroy her career, you know.
No,
her career is fine. Her career is fine.
There's a difference between being an asshole and being a mean asshole.
we should really get into like not do a Jesse Brown, maybe on the media or maybe a Crank magazine. Just really go through all the radio stations and the TVs and when they do their stupid bits. Like, for example, when it gets hot, let's do a bit on the weather. Let's spend 5 minutes talking to a meteorologist about the weather and hurricane season. Hey, hurricane season, what's going on tonight?
God damn it.
It's true. It's like, hey, I was on YouTube. Oh, my God, I saw a 10th anniversary icon. Let's do a story on 10th anniversary on YouTube, guys. It's going Reddit hell.
I know what you mean. A lot of it's very just, it's just random.
Hey, they are as close to rip and read as any of the radio folks out there doing news spots.
The thing is, they're competing with the internet now, and
it's slowly losing that battle.
It's genius. It's just so hard. Like the internet, actually, and the internet does exactly the same thing they're doing right now. It's just that they do it better because they can do it faster.
You know, I'm curious to whether or not, you know, what are CTV Global decides, hey, you know what, we're going to get a couple people, whoever it is, and you know what, they're doing online only. They're going to do Twitter.
But did you see the changes at Global Morning?
No, I have not seen the changes.
Great changes in their morning format. Kind of suck, actually. I used to like the old format.
What happened?
They're down to two now. Alex is gone. Paul and Crystal, they do the weather, and then they shoot to Toronto or some random place to do like national headlines, and then shoot back. The old format, I really liked it. The it was good. I'd always catch it when I was getting ready for work in the morning because it was the only show that was on, and I liked it. But now it's just down to two, and it's very. I just can't get into it. Of the internet, I mean, how many people have canceled their paper subscriptions just so they can get their news off of the internet?
Yeah.
I mean, have you guys, did you ever see that old episode of WKRP where a new radio station came into town and they were trying to steal away DJs and stuff for the station, and they got Dr. Johnny Fever and Venus Flytrap both, and when they went there, they found out that the place was an automated radio station where they just record their segments and then they just play them afterwards.
Over and over.
That's where news is going. Yeah,
Cylon.
It's our radio robot. they do their 5 p.m. spots at 2 o'clock. It's all in the computer.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing that for years.
If you watch the news of the weekend, you can tell it gets pre-programmed.
The only tip that you have is when they give the time. When they give the time and it matches your clock, you know that slide. But everything else, other than when they say the time, that's a computer. They've recorded that minutes
for like 6 hours.
Oh, yeah. The same thing with, if you listen to like Richard Zdarsky, who never leaves his home,
on News 95.7. Yeah.
He does it like 2 days before. That's why the weather is so off.
Remember Steve Martin in L.A. Story when he was doing the weather? Check that out.
Yeah, Bor if it's Anna that decided to watch us, hey, you know, we love you, Anna. You know, you're the best.
And to be fair, until
Maria comes back from maternity leave, then, you know.
And to be fair, it was Snoop Dogg's fault because he wasn't giving you anything. So.
Yeah.
He was trying to. He was just distracted by all the free weed in Bible Hill.
Yeah.
My God, the entire countryside of Truro was giving him weed. He probably has enough weed for the next 10 years whenever he comes up to Canada. He just needs to distribute it across the country when he does his shows. Hey, I'm going to Toronto. Ship some of my weed there.
They should burn some of it in Toronto so they don't have to smell the rendering plant when we drive by. Hi, Toronto. Michelle McCann's not watching tonight, obviously, because she was.
Yeah, where is Michelle? Is she still hungover from our trip? I tell you. Anyway, The minister, is it DNR? I have TIR minister. He's going to go down to Maine at some point and ask the governor, hey, what's up with that $5 million for the ferry you promised a couple years ago? And I don't know if the minister knows that the capital of Maine is in Augusta, not in Portland. There's no outlets in Augusta. So you're wasting a trip if you want to do some shopping. All the business is in Augusta. There's nothing around it.
What is in Augusta?
There's nothing. There's a PetSmart.
And a Target. If you don't have a dog, you're fucked.
And a Target. And a Lowe's. They got a Lowe's.
Okay.
Yeah, this is
they got an Irving, too. They got an Irving. We filled up there. They have an Irving.
Yeah.
An Irving, as they say in Maine.
Yeah. Sounds exciting, Jim. Can we go?
Oh, you're going to go down there and tell them? You're gonna get some answers, eh? They're fucking bullshit.
Is he going to ride the ferry over? Or is he going to get on a plane? Or is he going to drive?
He's probably driving over because he wants to do the outlets, right? So...
I bet there's a lot of shoulder shrugging and ass scratching going on in that trip.
Yeah. Like I said,
that would be what, $600 of taxpayers' money if he took the fucking ferry?
That's just too good.
As we said before, as I said in a couple of hangouts before, all you need to do is listen to the NPBN Maine Public Broadcast Radio podcast. And listen to Maine. They do a very good coverage of Maine politics. You listen for the last, pick whatever story that has Governor LePage in the show topics over the last 2 years. And there is zero of them that talks about the ferry. And whatever stories are related to the Nova Scotia ferry, they don't care about the ferry. It's not a conspiracy because the wood mill, the pulp mill in Millinocket is going out of business and the subsidies in Port Hawkesbury. Nova Scotia is not on their radar at all. They're an hour and a half drive from Boston. You know what I'm saying? The only thing that's really good that I heard on the radio today is that some of the procurement in terms of supplying the ship is going to come from Nova Scotia. Because last year, everything, staff, supplies, fuel, that was all coming from Portland. Nova Scotia was getting nothing out of it, and they were paying all the bills. Now it's kind of the reverse. That I kind of like, and it probably should be reversed, you know, really. But, you know, I don't know why you want to bother trying to say, hey, we're going to get $5 million after spending almost $30 million on this ferry.
You know what they need to do? They need to get the goddamn Blue Nose 2 out of the fucking dry dock, get it out there, and have it ram the fucking ferry and have them both fucking sink. Because that's the only thing that's going to solve any problems. Because Maine, they don't care about Nova Scotia. They just took our money and ran is what they did. I mean, it's like... It's like that old joke with the Lone Ranger and Tonto. They're running, they're going down some valley somewhere, and all of a sudden they're surrounded by Indians, and the Lone Ranger goes, "Looks like we're in trouble, Tonto." And Tonto goes, "What the fuck do you mean, we, white man?" And he ran off. I mean, they're just taking our money and running. Like, they don't care about us. They just took our money.
That's all they did. They renamed the Blue Nose 2. It's now called Blue Nose 2 Electric Boogaloo. It's official.
And the worst part, I went to see Electric Boogaloo when I was a kid. In Great Christmas, 1980, whatever, in Portland, Maine, on top of that, with my cousins, went to see the movies. We went to see Electric Boogaloo, and I think it was Johnny Dangerously with Michael Keaton. I think that was the same year. I don't remember. We did this a couple years ago. A Nova Scotia Tourism launched on June 1st the Good Cheer Trail. So if you go to Nova Scotia Tourism or goodcheertrail.com.ca, I can't remember, they have elected a passport program. Keith, Keith and Carrie, does this not sound familiar? A passport program.
Where did they get that from?
I don't know.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Jim.
I don't know. All right, so let's give the spiel, the gist, and then we'll give the background here. So there are breweries, distilleries, and brew pubs in Nova Scotia. I think it's around 30 when it comes down to it, when you add everybody up. Nova Scotia Tourism has a passport program, printed booklet or a phone app that you can check in, and then, you know, basically that you've visited these places. Nothing crazy other than tastings and stuff. If you get 10, I guess they'll send you a T-shirt, some shit like that. Anyway, when the day that it launched, the website was crashing because it wasn't working and stuff. But the reason why I kind of hinted that, hey, sounds familiar to Keith and Carrie, 8-9 years ago, Keith, Carrie, and I, we were involved in a passport program with Parks Canada for geocaching in Fundy, in Kijimukujik, in Lewisburg, in Cape Breton Highlands. In fact, 30 sites across the country in Parks Canada. It was basically the same goddamn thing. Where's our check, boys? Where's our check?
I'd say it's probably the same place that... yeah, I don't know, Jim. I don't know where
I'm going with that.
I have no freaking clue.
I feel that we dropped the ball on this. We didn't stay in the political spheres to make sure that no shenanigans were occurring, but... Shenanigans.
We get out when we had to get out.
Yeah, that's so true.
They stole it.
Anyway, so the only good thing about this is that you now have a distinct view of distilleries, brew pubs, or craft breweries that you should visit, that they have committed to a certain level of customer service in terms of receiving you in so you can taste the product and buy the product. There are some craft breweries or some other establishments that didn't meet the criteria. They seem bitter if you go to certain forums. But you know what? If you want to be part of the game, you got to bring your A game. You can't just play things half-ass. And I'm talking about Bad Apple Brewing. They are not part of this Good Cheer Trail because they didn't fit the criteria for the tastings and stuff. Because
they're not open?
Yeah, because Buddy works, he has a full-time job and stuff. So it's
I remember talking to him, and he was I don't think this is the same service, but it was something. It was like a website or something like that that was... supposed to be like a listing, and you, I think you either paid so much to get in on it or something like that. That was supposed to list all the Nova Scotia craft breweries and stuff like that. And he was like, "I just got tired of it. I didn't want to do it because when I gave them my information, they got like a bunch of it wrong anyway, and it was just like a substandard service to begin with."
I heard. I talked to somebody, and either it was a miscommunication or, yeah, it's something to do with the wrong logo.
Yes, and that's what it was, yeah.
It was the wrong logo and stuff. A little different from what it is now, because you're talking now with tourism. So that was like the Nova Scotia Craft Brewers Association, which is craft brewers getting some grant money to try to promote the industry. This Good Cheer Trail is the actual tourism, Nova Scotia tourism, where at day one, you have to be able to do, let's say, 10 things in terms of customer service. Have a storefront, have hours, have tastings. You know, there is a requirement because they follow a standard, Camping Select, or there is a certification they do have to follow and stuff. So the distilleries and wineries, they all follow that, and some of the craft breweries will follow that and stuff like that. So Bad Apple, in this case, you know, he doesn't want to follow the game and stuff. He wants to be the rebel and stuff like that. Same thing with Unfiltered and stuff. But they're being left behind. All the other breweries, they're getting the exposure, and they're going to them. And, you know, if you want to be part of the game,
you've got to play the game. That's just it.
You've got to play the game.
Whether you want or not. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You can be creative and artisanal and all you want. I appreciate that. I understand that. But if you can't play the game, you know, there is a business aspect to it, whether you like it or not.
They have no real chance or opportunity to play the game in the first place. I mean, they're not going to have a storefront.
Lee,
they can't afford to do that.
Lee, I'm going to tell you. Okay, you've been to their spot. I've been to their spot. They're on the same level as a lot of people. A lot of the brewers when they started out in Halifax. And the rebel attitude or just not the time commitment to do it, but they can be part of the game, but they just didn't want to be part of the game. That's which is frustrating because they have very good beers. But you look at the tanks that they have, you look, like I went in last spring there and I seen the tank, like I was filling up a growler of the Russian Imperial Stout from the tank, and it was a tank bigger than what North Bruin had at the same time and stuff, and it's just sitting there. It's like, yeah, it's fresh stuff, whatever. He had more space than North. He had more space than Good Robot. He has more space than more space than a lot of these guys that are starting out.
I think it just comes down to whatever he's.
No, he
wants to. I mean, he obviously doesn't want to, and that's fine. He doesn't want to play the game. That's great. Wow. He needs to rely then on stuff like Local Traveler and us, you know, like promoting him instead of that.
We had Craft Beer Week in Halifax. There was an official week of craft beer event activities. He goes and has an event at Tom's Havana, not part of the event, but he just wanted to be in the city during the week, just so that there's stuff going on and stuff. Like he wants to play the game, but he wants to play, like, it's...
He wants to be part of the game.
As I said to Alex at Garrison today when I'm picking up my beer, it's like, man, things have gotten very political right now. And the analogy that you said is... It's basically, the analogy that came from that, my discussion with, was that is that a bunch of rich guys are just jerking off to everybody's faces. That was...
Wow, Jim.
Don't worry, this won't be in the best of. Oh, I'm keeping... That is staying in the best of. It is after 10 o'clock.
Come on, this whole show's the best of.
No, but, I've talked to a number of people in Nova Scotia. If you want to do craft beer, there are more than enough people who want to give you seed money to get your business off the ground. No problem getting funding. There is money. You can lift a brick and there's money for you if you want to say you want to open up a craft brewery. It is that easy right now.
Those people out there that are willing to front the money, not only for the brewery, the infrastructure and all that stuff, but all the legal matters you have to go through, because you got to go through a lot of legal hoops just to get a brewery started. You got to meet regulations. You got to meet just standards with your plumbing and things like that.
That's probably the easiest thing to do is getting the infrastructure done and everything else. The hardest part is probably getting the funding to do it. And if there are people around you that aren't interested in having you squeeze some of their business, then it's going to be hard for you to get something going.
Hey, look at the nano breweries in New Brunswick. A good chunk of them, they have barely as big of this pot as a brew shop.
Yeah, well, that's how
I'm talking about Big Axe, Hammond River, the ones up the Acadian Shore and stuff. It's no bigger than what I got right here.
But I think New Brunswick has some different. I think they have some different regulations.
It's no different in terms of getting your product out on the market. It's, you know, if you want to be in the stores and stuff. But my point I was going to say earlier is that if you want to get into the biz, there's no shortage of silent investors ready to prop you up and do whatever it takes to bring you to market.
Yeah.
I mean, look how Jeremy did at Big Spruce. He started out with a little bit, and he's gone. His production is
Big Spruce started doing something completely different. Were they just growing hops or something unrelated?
They promoted it as all organic, and 100% organic brewing, they're doing well, of course.
Yeah, because I have a friend, Don Rigg 13, does beer reviews. Him and his buddy are trying to get a brewery off the ground in New Brunswick, called Scared Men Brewing, and they're just doing a nano brewery, like a one cask kind of system thing, and they're just trying to get the money up right now to do it. So,
well, best advice for them is to get tight with everybody, all the other ones, Hammond and Fredericton, because he's in the triangle. Get close with them, because that's the only way they're gonna get into the game there. So
yeah, you gotta have a different product than everybody else, and then make it work.
2001 is the Wayback Machine. This is where we think back, go back in time.
And, I was surprised to see it, like, the first Lord of the Rings live-action movie was 2001. I didn't realize it was that far back.
That was a while ago, eh? Yeah. That's 14 years ago. Well, I was thinking about the 2001 NHL draft. Jason Spezza was drafted Ottawa Senators. And is there anybody else that's still playing these days?
2001, Discovery One was bound for Jupiter with Dr. David Bowman, if you get that reference.
Yeah. Open the shuttle doors, Hal. I can't do that, Dave.
That's exactly right, yeah.
A couple famous actors died. Anthony Quinn died in 2001. Jack Lemmon died in 2001.
Oh, he was fantastic.
Yeah, Ray Walston, he died in 2001.
Yes.
My favorite Martian, right?
Mm-hmm, and Carol O'Connor as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a big year. Yeah.
A lot of greats gone that year.
And my favorite blues musician, John Lee Hooker, died in 2001.
Oh, wow, he's been gone that long. Wow.
Well, another TV great, Kelly Ripa, joins Live with Regis Philbin in 2001.
TV great, I think you're using that term a bit loosely.
I'm sorry.
Kelly Ripa, Ray Walston, you know.
Kelly Ripa is, she's a piece of gristle is what she is.
Well, you know what? She doesn't watch The Hangout, sir. Let her rip, Lee.
Yeah, she's a talentless piece of gristle. And Regis Philbin tried to chew on her and couldn't get her down. That's about it.
Star Trek Voyager ended the season finale with the endgame, and Sisko just fell into the ether and stuff.
No, that was Deep Space Nine.
Oh, Voyager. Oh, that was Voyager. Oh my God.
Do not blaspheme and talk about Voyager in the presence of Deep Space.
Officer. Everybody forgets about Voyager.
Yeah. Everyone wants to forget about Voyager.
Totally wrong Star Trek thing. Oof.
Douglas Adams died.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, wow.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Yeah.
Hey, Alex Trebek in 2001 showed up without his mustache.
Did was he? That long ago?
Yeah. Oh.
He should have shaved half of it off. Actually, I think he said he wanted to do that. I think it was on the Nerdist podcast. He said he wanted to shave half of it off, and the producers wouldn't let him.
You should have went really brave and did the Hitler mustache.
Yeah.
What is we're canceled for 1,000? Yeah,
a very special episode of Jeopardy. Oh, also the last one.
Oh. Yeah.
Hey, the series finale of Reboot.
Oh, yeah. Reboot.
The cartoon, the CGI cartoon Reboot. Classic out of BC.
On a serious note, 2,977 people died in downtown New York City.
Yeah.
On
September 11th. 2001, yes.
And another terrorist connection was the Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh was executed.
That's right, yeah.
That was in 2001, too, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's when he was executed.
That's right. Oh, wow.
Also, serial killer Henry Lee Lucas died in 2001 as well.
Xena, Warrior Princess, ended in 2001, season finale.
The most thinly veiled lesbian action show on TV.
I like to think the show is still going on in my mind, guys. Just
go. Yeah. I didn't mind the show. It was pretty good. Walker, Texas Ranger, Third Rock from the Sun... Batman Beyond, all ended in 2001. Morton Downey Jr., if you remember talk shows.
He
smoked, basically. I remember that.
Yeah, he smoked a lot. Yeah.
Interesting, because his show was only like really popular for about maybe a year and a half or so before he got canceled. But
yeah,
he was pretty notorious, so his reputation preceded him.
Who else here? Lorenzo Music, the voice of Garfield. He died in 2001.
Did Bill Murray take that over for a while, or
he may?
No. Bill Murray did the movies.
Yeah.
It was
Did the movies. Yeah.
It was the guy who did the voice of Bill Murray's character in Ghostbusters for the Ghostbuster cartoons. Whoever the hell that was did the cartoon Garfield for a while. The monkeys reformed, apparently.
Apple released iTunes, the iTunes music player, in 2001.
Oh, fuck them. Piece of garbage.
No. Mike Turner quits Our Lady Peace. Who was that, the drummer?
I don't know.
See...
No, wait, wasn't that the singer? I thought the singer left the band.
No, the singer is, what's his name?
I'm thinking of a different band.
Yeah, that's right, Mike, whatever you said there.
The lead singer of Our Lady Peace was Rain Maida.
Rain Maida.
Yeah. It's married to... Yeah, exactly. That Anna Amilda from CTV interviewed last week. Did a very awkward, do you know your partner kind of quiz. Did you guys see that?
No, I missed it. Now I'm intrigued, Jim. Where can I find it?
Holy shit, go to CTV Atlantic. It's bad. I'm sorry, Anna. I love Anna, but that bit was bad. That was fucking bad.
She's not watching my nap, man.
She's totally not watching. But man, that was fucking... It's after 10. That was fucking terrible. Hang on, let me put it on the link here. I'll put it on the Google Plus.
Hey, everybody. I just want to let everybody know that all the fucks we don't give are going to be on the Blue Nose 2 Electric Boogaloo next week.
Slow down. If you're tasked with doing the CTV 5-5 entertainment bit, and you know, you gotta find whoever to fill 3 minutes. And yeah,
you gotta try hard not to kill yourself. Let's put it that way.
It's 11 o'clock. Fuck it.
I'll do respect, but she's just biding her time before she moves up to something that's legit.
I was gonna say, let's not shit on her. I mean, you know she's
no. She's got no. I really like her. I like her a lot. But man,
you can't tell by watching this show.
No, but the bits that she does, they're terrible.
I don't know.
But we got it anyway.
Hang on, I'm retweeting the bit.
to be fair, those
section six
are designed to be terrible because they're for people in nursing homes who don't know what's going on.
Nope, all right. Nothing.
They're all right, done. Carrie, anything?
Yeah. No stability. Okay. No stability. Nothing at all.
All right. Lee.
We do have some comments. Jason Spears says in 2001 he graduated university. He says, wow, I'm getting old.
Yes, you are, Jason.
Steffi Sprinkles says, cool. So I don't know what she's referring to.
That's a cool name.
Yeah,
let me look up. Who are you, Steffi?
Jason Spears says, I didn't mind Voyager, but it wasn't on the same level as DS9 or TNG. True. Mm-hmm. He also says, my dad was crushed when Xena ended, apparently.
Thank you very much. People watching, thank you very much. We do this next Friday. Summer schedule, July and August, folks. Don't remember. All right. Talk to you guys later.
Hey, guys.
Out. Out.
Yeah. Bye.
If you like what you hear, make sure you like and share this podcast to your friends and check out our website, avoidingchores.com, for more content and links to our social media accounts. We do this every Friday. Let us know how we're doing.